Welcome.
All right, we're here with another podcast, C2C Recruiting Podcast. It's me, your host, Neil Nieves, with Brendan Padilla of C2C Recruiting. And he also works for 24/7. He covers Baylor basketball for Bears Truth. So you can find that at bearstruth.247.com. Brendan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. We took a nice little hiatus from the podcast a couple months, but now we're bringing on some other pretty good guests with this week.
Yep. We took a little hiatus, but we're back. Hopefully we can get the ball rolling for the summer.
We've been told to find some more motivation, so we're working on that.
Yes, we are working on that. We got two special guests today. We got Ralphie Johnson. Ralphie, say what's up to the people.
Hello, everyone.
Let them know what you do.
MBE Basketball Report and CollegeHoops.net.
All right, cool. And then we got Andy Kendrick. Go ahead, Andy. Let the people know what you do.
What's going on, world? Andy Kendrick, recruitrecon.com. Check it out.
Yeah, make sure you guys check out all the sites. You can follow them on Twitter. They're on Twitter. They're everywhere. So if you listen to our podcast, you probably know who these guys are anyways. We got a really great show going for you guys tonight. Just to kind of tell you guys what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about the top classes of 2012, since pretty much everybody's a done deal. Kind of talk about spring AAU. Get a little EYBL talk in there. Adidas tournaments, Pangos. Some surprise guys, top players in the class, 2013 depth. Do a little comparing. And then we're going to talk about, different rules that are changing. Then we're going to get into the NBA draft. So, sit back, relax, and let's get this thing going. So, who would you guys say is the top class right now?
I got to go with Kentucky. I think they reloaded pretty well. Granted, they're not going to have all the one-and-done guys they did this past year. But for replacing their whole starting lineup, when you drop in Nerlens Noel, I think that, you're not going to drop off in too many wins in that aspect.
True. Ralphie, who would you go with?
I'm going to take Indiana. I think they're a team that started off hot early, but I think people kind of forgot about everybody they're bringing in. Guys like Yogi Ferrell at the point. In addition to who they have coming back, they're probably going to be a preseason number one. But I'm sure, people go with Kentucky, UCLA, but I really like what Tom Crean brought in into Bloomington, this coming summer.
Yeah,
Andy? Well, I like Indiana, too, but I think the top class would probably be UCLA. With Baz coming in and Kyle coming in, I pretty much rank them one and two in the top of that class. So, anytime that you get one and two, in my eyes, I put, Noel number three, but you can get one and two at the top of the class. That's a winner.
Yeah, I agree totally with you, Andy. I'm going to take the homer route, go UCLA. Although I do love Indiana's class, and, of course, I love Kentucky, and I love Arizona's class. But I think with the Arizona class, though, the point guard is still missing. I don't think Gabe York is a point guard. And, I think Mark Lyons is going to be great when he gets there. But, that's he's not a 2012 coming. He's going to be 2013.
No. Lyons can play immediately.
He's playing immediately.
Oh, then that's big.
I think the bigger point guard, pickup for Arizona would be T.J. McConnell, the transfer from Duquesne.
Yeah.
He's going to be the best, true point guard they have, and they get him for 2 years.
I agree with that. I think they just needed a point guard now. With losing Josiah, I don't think Gabe York is a point guard, and I don't think Nick Johnson is a point guard, So I think they needed a point guard, and they got the bigs, Grant Jarrett's skilled. Caleb Skill, Brandon Ashley is solid. So, that's a great class.
They're part of the best front court in the country.
Yeah, it's definitely the best freshman front court. It might be over. They're stacked. I don't think there's no really Kentucky was just killing everybody. I think this year there's a little bit of parity at the top. Would you guys agree or disagree?
I think UCLA is. I think they're gonna kill everybody. With Baz and I forgot about Tony Parker going there too. You know what I'm saying? I think they're going to kill everybody. I mean, Indiana's good. I mean, they got a good class coming in, but the only person I think is going to get even any playing time is going to be Yogi. And I don't think he's going to get as much playing time as everybody thinks. I mean, I think Hunter's all right, but, I mean, he can't really score. You know, I mean, it's, I mean, I don't know. Providence is good. You know, North Carolina's got a good class. You know, Michigan State has
NC
a good
State,
class. North
NC
Carolina,
State, NC State.
Yeah, I mean, they got a real good class.
You guys are sleeping on Baylor's class. Isaiah Austin, Ricardo Gathers, LJ Rose coming in.
I'm sleeping on them.
I like Isaiah Austin. I'm not sure Ricardo Gathers is going to be able to score as much as he does. And I think LJ Rose is about a year to 2 years away from being a legit point guard.
Yeah, I'm with you on Rose. I think it's going to take him some time to be able to grow in the system. Mm-hmm. But with Pierre Jackson, he's not going to need to step in and start.
Oh, yeah.
So
I agree.
I think Gathers is mostly just going to be kind of a monster on the glass. I don't really know if they're going to need him to score on the block as much as he did in high school at all. So.
No, I agree with that. But I just think like his mentality is he's going to want to score. You know how kids are nowadays. They all think they're scorers. And,
yeah.
You know, if he does come in there and just be a dirty, you know, just be like an Anthony Mason type player, then he'll be great. And, you know, Isaiah Austin is ceiling is through the roof. So, I mean, they have a solid class. I don't know if is that a top five, top 10 class on Scout, ESPN, and Rivals?
Pretty much, yeah. They're usually top five, top seven. Yeah. Another class you mentioned that, you know, doesn't get talked about that much because they're not really a big name is Providence. I mean, Ed Cooley brought in a great class with Chris Dunn and Ricardo Ludo. Yeah. I mean, just being able to grab those guys within the Big East. I mean, they're finishing ahead of classes, you know, like UConn and everybody else that are, you know, normally your premier brands up in that part of the country.
I agree with that. I mean, I'm sure Ralphie could touch on that a little bit more.
Providence might not be done, too. I think they're still going pretty hard after Tony Trunka. Big guy for 2012. They got Wake Forest transfer Carson DeRozier. He obviously can't play this year, but you know, that was big for them. They really didn't have too much in terms of quality big men. Bilal Dixon transferred to Towson. I don't really know how big of a loss that is, but you know, you need bigs to be able to compete in the major conferences. So yeah. I think that's going to be something that Providence is going to have to do even more of down the road. But when you look at Dunn and Lito, I think Dunn and Vincent Council might be one. I think you can argue that they'll be the best guard tandem in the Big East this year.
Oh, I could definitely see that.
I can see that.
Because I think people are ignoring Vincent Council as a junior coming in. Mm-hmm. We know what Chris Dunn can do as well. So I think those two in the backcourt, Bryce Cotton coming back as well, they're going to be good.
Yeah. And Rob, you mentioned Tony Trunka, the Colombian recruit. He actually took his SAT in May, and he didn't get his qualifying score, so he actually took it again this past weekend. So we should probably know more about that situation the next month or so.
Okay.
No, I agree with you. And I think Lito is – I know there's a lot of baggage that came with Lito, and, you know, there's still probably baggage there. But overall, he's a top five talent in the class.
Oh, yeah, he gets buckets. I mean, you know he's a super talented kid.
Yeah, if everything works out for him, if he was, you know, in a different situation, he would be, you know, a top three kid in the class probably. And, you know, he's probably going to get drafted even if he plays bad this year just off his potential. So, yeah, I mean, and if he does turn out to be solid, it could be a really, really, really crazy gift for them. And he could probably take them on a nice little run to the tournament. You know what I mean? He's one of those kind of kids that just gets buckets.
True. Don't forget about Josh Fortune, too. I mean, that guy's legit as well. Yeah.
Who? Say that again. Who?
Josh Fortune.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's gonna help out with the Friars as well, but you can't forget about that kid.
Yeah, they're going to be nice. So, you know, hopefully, we freshmen are getting a lot more playing time, so hopefully we can talk about them again, you know, when we talk about the draft a little bit later on. Let's move on.
Who'd you guys say had the best mid-major class?
That's a good question.
San Diego State. UNLV.
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 I think that class at Houston. Maybe another
Houston. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Over UNLV. UNLV got Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, I'm not saying Houston's the best one, but you look at Daniel House and the guys they're bringing in. Chicken Knowles as well.
That's a solid get. I mean, Chicken's, I saw him play a lot during high school's pasture. He's still going to need to hit the weight room. He's still getting shoved around by guys that really wouldn't be playing at the D1 level right now. But once he gets in the weight room, gets a little bit stronger, you know, can actually rebound at the D1 level, I think he's going to be a pretty good player.
I agree. I like Houston. I like UNLV. I like San Diego State with Winston Shepherd. I think that's big. There's a couple. Those three stick out as far. And I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, Houston hasn't had much success lately, but UNLV and San Diego State, you know, are they really mid-major still?
Right, exactly.
You know, so, but whatever. They're solid gets. Any other classes that we're missing out on, you guys think, or are we kind of done with this one?
I think you're good. I think we hit on everybody.
Okay.
Wichita State, Fred VanVleet. I think he's going to be really important with the number of guards they lost last year. So that's another.
He's talented. He's a talented kid. I've watched a lot of Fred, and I mean, he's one of the top point guards, you know, coming out in 2012 in the Midwest. So he can definitely make a pretty big impact there once he gets to school.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, schools like that always seem to find the diamond in the rough. That, you know, two or three years down the line, we're like, damn, how come nobody recruited him, or how come nobody had him ranked, and they just got an eye for that. So, all right, that was a good one. Our next one is kind of what we're getting into, the AAU scene. You know, NCAA reopened the evaluation period, so we had a couple better tournaments. Coaches were out. Ralphie and Brennan, they headed to EYBL. I headed to Vegas to see an Adidas, and
I was there too.
Oh yeah, man, you were there. You were there also. You've been everywhere this spring. You're big time. No. ND's hit a couple.
Chicago, everywhere in the Midwest.
He's the Midwest guy, and so we're just gonna talk about that right now. So, you know, let's talk about EYBL. It's, you know, probably the best crop of talent under one building when they get going. Start with you, Brendan. What did you see down in Dallas?
In Dallas, I mean, I enjoy, like you kind of said, it's the best crop of any basketball tournament you're gonna find. Like in those four sessions I have leading up to the Peach Jam. It kind of makes you wish that the other shoe companies and like Adidas and Under Armour might be able to do something like it. I think the best player I probably watched in Dallas is probably Julius Randle. He's extremely aggressive every time. One game I saw him go 15 of 16 from the line. So like even if his shot's not falling, because he likes to settle for mid-range jumpers, but whenever he does get aggressive and just attacks the bucket, he just can't be stopped. So he caught my eye, and then I want to get Rafi's thoughts because Jahlil Okafor, actually the weekend I watched Mac Irvin Fire play, he actually outplayed Jabari Parker. So I wanted to see what Rafi saw in Oakland on that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, actually. Obviously, in Oakland, you had the big matchup between Mac Irvin Fire and Texas Titans. You know, all types of – I think it was – if they could – I don't know if you call it a sellout crowd or anything like that, but – you know, the bleachers were packed for that court. They actually mic'd up the parents of both players. they did. They're doing a documentary on EYBL. They actually mic'd up Sonny Parker and then the mother of Julius Randle.
Nice.
For that game. I'm interested to see what happened there because when I watched that game, you know, Randle, according to the box score, finished with 23-13. But I was more impressed with Matt Jones and Jahlil Okafor in that game. Than either he or Jabari Parker. You know, they both had their moments, but, you know, it's one of those games where other guys kind of step up and make themselves be known. So, yeah, I kind of agree with Brendan's point there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've seen Jabari before, and, sometimes he's like the type of kid that just goes and gets 20 points, but it's a quiet 20.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to really wow you or anything like that, but it's, you know, but he's still gonna get his points, you know what I mean? And he might not dominate a game, but he'll dominate the box score, so I could definitely see that happening. Was there any surprises or, you know, anybody that you said, ooh, you know, why are they not ranked higher, or anybody like that that impressed you guys?
Yeah, Jonathan Williams from Team Penny out of Memphis. He really impressed me. Every time I saw him play three different times in Dallas, and every time he played, he just showed out. He was like 20 points a game, seemed like every time. He's an inside-outside forward. He likes to slash the basket. He can also step outside and hit the three if he needs to. He's extremely quick, so he caught my eye. And, since I've watched him, actually, a lot of the sites have read on the rankings, and he jumped up a little bit. So
nice. How about you, Ralphie?
Stanley Johnson, easy. You know how I feel about rankings. I don't really care for him personally, but where Stanley Johnson is ranked by one site, we're not going to say who, was kind of, out of line with the way he played. He was outstanding. He's got an impressive build right now. Can finish with contact. The perimeter shot does need a little bit of work. It was adequate enough where he can knock some down up in Oakland. And his work on both ends of the floor, I think he's the guy that kind of stood out to me in terms of a player that may not be valued as highly as he should be nationally.
I agree with you on Stanley. I mean, I'm he's in my backyard. So my thing with him is that he just does what he needs to do.
Yeah.
He's never in the wrong place. He's never really taking bad shots. He's not a ball hog. He's not a ball stopper. He's not, he goes and gets his when he needs to. That's my thing. And he plays. He plays for Oakland Soldiers. And when he's not playing for the Oakland Soldiers, he's playing for Dinos and Belmont Shore. He made the USA team, and he's not the most talented kid. Skill-wise, he's not a top 20 kid. But what he brings, just his intangibles make him a top 20 kid to me. You know what I mean? And I think that sucks for a lot of kids, because not when it comes to rankings or, even coaches sometimes overlook intangibles, and you shouldn't. You know what I mean? They might take a kid that's a little bit more athletic, a little bit, longer wingspan or whatever it is over a kid like that, and they really shouldn't. So I could definitely see what you're saying on Stanley Johnson. So I agree with that 100%. Any kids that, or what you could say, what tournaments you've been to, and any kids, stand out to you, or any sleepers out there for us?
But just to kind of go back to that Jabari, I've seen Jabari and Jahlil a lot, this spring. I saw him in Speaks in Fort Wayne. I've seen a lot of Jahlil in Chicago, Maryville, Indiana. I mean, Jahlil is a beast, man. That kid can pretty much do everything he wants to do. I don't know if, as far as Jabari, he's not really, going all out as much as what he should and as much as what he has in the past. His effort to me seems to be lacking a little bit. When I've seen Mac Urban Fire play without Jabari, they play a lot better. So, his progression at this point is a little bit disturbing to me. Mm-hmm. Because, he has all the talent in the world. He's a real solid ball player, but he just confuses me at times. But Jahlil, man, there's just something special about him that, that I love. And that's just kind of just going back to the whole Mac Urban thing. We can kind of talk a little bit about some of the Adidas stuff a little bit later that I've been to.
Okay, no, I agree with you on the Jabari thing. Also, that's one thing, not to compare him to nobody, but Shabazz, never took a playoff.
Right.
As a number one player, you really can't take no playoffs, plays off. And Shabazz never did. I remember I went down to San Diego, and they were playing, because Dream Vision is from San Diego originally, and they were playing in a tournament with maybe three other D1 players in the whole tournament. And Shabazz was trying to kill every kid he was playing. He didn't care if the kid was 5'2", 220 pounds, or the kid was 6'4", 180. He was trying to kill and destroy everything, and he's trying to rip the nets out and just, So as a number one player, you do want to see that fire. And, and Shabazz was kind of like Jabari off the court, quiet, kept to himself. But when he stepped on the court, he was trying to get at it. And, I do see that in Jabari, where he needs to, play every game. Not like it's his last game, but just give it his all every game. And I see he does it sometimes.
Yeah, he takes a lot of players off.
Mm-hmm. I got a question, though.
Go ahead.
Do you guys think some of the pub being heaped on Jabari maybe weighing on him a little bit?
No, I agree. I think he might just be bored. But
because nobody else. When's the last time we've seen a high school kid on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
I agree.
Especially saying you're the best high school player since LeBron. That's a lot of pressure.
I agree with you totally. But you have to look at the flip side. Is he could have said no to the cover?
Yeah.
No, he couldn't. His parents would never let him say no to that.
I mean,
that's a family thing for him. You know, I don't think the pressure is actually getting to him. I think the pressure may be getting to his family, and it's starting to you know, twinkle down to him.
Yeah.
He doesn't pay attention to that type of stuff. It's all family oriented.
Okay. Yeah. Because you had a lot of people showing up in Oakland too. Yeah. You know, a lot of family members and all that. And you know, maybe they just need to kind of let him get away from the gambling. Not really sure what to do, but you know, maybe that's got something to do with his place thus far.
Well, I could totally see. You know, I don't know him personally. I don't know, but you know, I know of situations where stuff like that has happened, and you know, it could be bogging down on him, and you know, he could be just tired of it. You know, kids get tired of playing AAU. You know what I mean? And you know, so it's hard, but you know. As far as me seeing players, you know who impressed me a lot? Casey Hill. I don't think people talk about him as much as they should, maybe because he's already committed to Florida. I don't really know where they have him ranked, but he's really, really – he has that extra gear, like, it's just ridiculous. He's very, very impressive. And then at Pengals, Connor – I don't want to mention Fran Camp.
Yeah,
the kid that's going to Kansas. He got, you know, he comes out, looks like a kid that doesn't know how to play basketball, and he just goes and drops 30 on you. You know, and he got like a little, I don't know if it's like swag, but he got a little, like, you know, a little bounce to his game. I like that. Cliff Alexander is really good. I'm sure, Andy, you've seen him, right?
Yeah, I've seen him explode a backboard.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's a beast. I mean, he's just now really learning what he can do on the floor.
Like, it was crazy watching him from Friday to Sunday, and he, like, got better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's just keeps getting better. You know, he got a nice little jump shot. He was very impressive. He ended up winning Pengo's MVP. Zach LaVine was really impressive, the kid, the point guard from up north.
Yeah, I saw him play at Houston. He lit it up down here, too.
Yeah, he gets buckets. And, you know, I was talking to a scout, and he was telling me that, because I was like, well, I don't really think Zach LaVine is a point guard. And he was telling me he's a new age point guard. Like, if you look at Russell Westbrook, if you look at Derrick Rose, that's how point guards are nowadays. And the scout was telling me, you know, some people think it's bad for the game because he doesn't always get his teammates involved or anything like that, but that's just he's the new age point guard, and he's like, you know, the next one.
Yeah, I was talking to him actually. I talked to him here in Houston, and he was saying that actually on his high school team, he actually plays the two guard. So, like, mm-hmm. they're still trying to work him over to become a one because he's just not used to ball handling as much as he has been. So,
yeah, but he can handle the rock. You know, he can handle it. He gets buckets. Like, he was very impressive. I mean, I heard all the hype about him. Because he's probably gonna end up at UCLA. But yeah, he was very impressive. Stanley Johnson was impressive again. You know, Pengals was good. It didn't live up to the hype of last year. You know, last year they had a first game Andre Drummond versus Isaiah Austin, and then the second game was Shabazz versus Anthony Bennett. So, you know, there was really no killers there. But, you know, overall, it was a great tournament, a great camp, and, you know, those are the guys that stood out to me.
How was Elliot Pitts out there? I thought he'd come and play. I mean, he played out here in the Midwest. I think he's talented. I really didn't get a lot of looks at him, but he seems like he can ball.
He's talented. He can shoot. He can shoot it. He's athletic. He's another one that, you know, I would think he's a two guard. Some people want to play him as a point guard. I think he's a two guard, though. You know, more of a pure two guard. Is there anybody else you guys heard about or you know, at Pengals that you guys got any questions on?
Yeah, I mean, I saw Isaiah Briscoe was actually out there, and he made the top 30 game. He caught my eye at EYBL. For a 2015 point guard to be doing what he's doing, I think he's going to be explosive.
Yeah, he is. He's really explosive. He looks like he's gaining a little weight, though.
Yeah, but he's pretty good at using his body, being able to turn the corner, get around people, get to the bucket.
He is. Oh, I like Briscoe. I like Solomon Poole, too. I like Solomon Poole, the point guard.
He's explosive.
Man, that's woo! Hey, woo! I mean, I know you guys saw the Ball Is Life and his mixtape tape, but no, when the cameras were off and we were just chilling in the gym after, man, he was doing some ridiculous stuff off the backboard, behind everything. Yeah, he's pretty explosive. So, anybody else?
What about Byron Ziegler? Did you see him while he was at Pangos?
No, I didn't see him.
You know, I don't Mike Young play. How do you look to you?
Who?
Mike Young.
Oh, he looked good. He looked good. I like him. And there was another kid from Philadelphia. I can't remember his name. 2014 kid. I gotta look at my notes. He played really well too. I mean, it was good. It was good. You know what I mean? I think because of the parity, nobody was really taking over though. That's what we were missing. Like Zach LaVine took over a little bit, but nobody came out and said this is my camp. That was the only thing that was missing. Cliff did it. You know, did it well, but nobody really like you know how last year Shabazz and Anthony Bennett. You know, this is me. Andre Drummond said, this is me. You know what I mean? I'm going to eat here. You know, nobody really came and did that. Maybe because the top guys weren't there or whatever, but it was overall a solid event.
So outside of the major events, what are some of the other guys that caught your eye that might not be getting attention pretty much at all? Like, for instance, like here in the H-Town Classic I was at in April, there was a guy named Reggie Lynch who's like a power forward for the Minnesota Magic. I watched him play 3 games. He put up 2 triple doubles. The guy just blocked shots left and right. So I think he's a name you might start hearing a little bit more of. And also Sam Singer plays for Gold Coast. He's a 6'5 point guard. He's not that athletic at all, but he has good vision just because he's a lot taller than everybody. He also can stroke it from 3.
I'll give you one out here. There's a kid named Chance Murray. I don't know if you guys heard of him, but he's a wing. And he plays on a small AAU team, the Rockfish. They're okay. They don't go national, but he might make the move to a bigger AAU team during the summer, and his recruitment will skyrocket. You know, it will get crazy because people haven't really seen him. That would be mine actually. Ralph, you got any?
I really don't have any guys that kind of, you know, really under the radar, to be honest with you. But, I'd probably say, I don't know if Rene Castro would count as under the radar for BABC, but, you know, he's a guy I got to see in Oakland. I thought he did a really good job. You know, they didn't have like guys like Jalen Brantley or Wayne Selden, but they went either 4-1 or, I think, 5-0 or something like that. Mm-hmm. In Oakland, they had a very good weekend there. He got more time handling the ball at the point. I thought he did a good job in terms of knowing when to score and when to distribute, get other guys taken care of. So he's a guy that kind of stands out for you.
Yeah, I liked him last year when we saw him when UIBL came here. I liked him last year. Anybody out there in the Midwest that's going to start to blow up?
Well, I mean, I really like Demetrius Jackson. Not a lot of people really talk about him because he plays on a real small AAU team and he plays on a really small high school team. But, I mean, he's about 6'1". I mean, he's lightning. I mean, he's real, real quick, real strong, real long arms. You know, he's very athletic. You know, I mean, Michigan State's on him pretty hard. I mean, he's in Notre Dame's backyard, so I don't know if he's going to get out of South Bend, Indiana. But, I mean, he's a stud. I really like Wes Clark. I don't know if you guys watched him at UIBL. He plays with James Young there with the family. I mean, nice little stocky little 6-foot point guard. I think he'll blow up a little bit. You know, his teammate EC Matthews is pretty good too. I mean, there's a lot of kids here in the Midwest that don't get a lot of don't get talked about a lot. You know, that'll blow up here. You know,
I agree. Just to go back to one kid that I guess everybody knows who he is, or they don't. I heard like Jordan Matthews has been killing it UIBL.
Yeah, he was going nuts in Dallas.
Yes, and that's what everybody was telling me. And the crazy thing is, like, during the high school season, it was a total opposite. I'm not saying he's terrible, you know what I mean? But he wasn't really killing like he's been killing now. And, you know, it's crazy to see, like, Kansas starting to recruit him and, you know, Texas called and
Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana is recruiting him. And it's like, you know, so it's perfect time to start playing.
Yeah, a couple times I saw him play. Great. a couple times I saw him play at UIBL, he wasn't really just, he wasn't taking over the game, but he wasn't making bad plays. Yeah. Like, he's a smart player in that sense. But like, he wasn't forcing his shot. He was waiting for Parker Jackson Cartwright just to get on the ball in good position and make something happen.
Well, you know, his dad is Phil Matthews at UCLA. He's the assistant coach at UCLA.
Okay.
So he comes from a great basketball, you know, family, and you know, I'm sure he's been taught the game. But yeah, he's been killing it. So that's another kid that recruitment is going to probably keep going up. So we'll see. How about who would you guys say in 2013? You know, is the top player? Is it Jabari still?
I think Jabari is the better pro set of tools, but right now, with the biggest impact of a collegiate game, I might take Julius Randle.
ND, who would you take?
I mean, I was stuck on Julius Randle all the way up until, I mean, I think the last Lucas camp in Louisville. But, I mean, I think Jabari just is, I mean, he's too skilled. You know, I mean, I haven't really got to see Julius since LeBron camp from last year, so I can't really speak on that. But, I mean, just from what I've seen, no, I mean, I it's got to be Jabari. I mean, I think James Young is up there too. I mean, I think he's loaded with talent.
What about you, Ralphie?
Yeah, I agree with ND. I'd go with Jabari as well. The one thing I'm looking forward to, again, in July, I'm not really sure how much we'll get to see out of him since he's hurt right now. But Aaron Gordon, I think he's a guy I'd like to see in July, see what he can put up there. But I'd have to go with Jabari Parker as well right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jabari is the best player. I do agree that he doesn't bring it all the time, but it's so hard to turn down his skills, you know what I mean, and tell him he and put somebody else in that spot. But Julius Randle is on his heels, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of kids on his heels, and maybe, you know, with them being on his heels, maybe he turns it up a notch and goes back to the Jabari that we saw in Vegas last year. You know, because in Vegas last year, he was a monster. Straight monster. Like, it was like no doubt that he was, like, I would put him ahead of Shabazz, you know what I mean? I would put him ahead of Nerlens Noel. But now it's like, you know, with you guys telling me how he's kind of taking some plays off, it's like, maybe, you know, maybe Julius come in and steal the top spot. Maybe not, you know. The rankings really don't mean much, but it's just good conversation.
So if Andrew Wiggins reclassified to 2013, where do you put him?
Man, see? Why? See, I don't know. Again, you know, I don't know. My thing is, like, it kind of, you know, pisses me off that kids do that. But, you know, if he did it right now instead of doing it, like, you know, this time next year, then, you know, I'd have to, you know, maybe put him at number one. I mean, I think he's the best player in high school. Do you guys agree or disagree?
No, I disagree. I still think Jabari's another best, but yeah. You know, I think he's talented. I mean, I think he's probably the most athletic and with skill, you know, as far as everybody. But I still think Jabari's a little bit better.
As far as a pro set of tools, I think Jabari is like the most. He's got, I mean, not that he's got the most upside, but I mean, he does. But it's not like he's, you know, a scrub right now. But he's got great tools. He's just got to be able to utilize them all consistently.
Agreed.
So I think as far as that's concerned, as far as pro potential, I think Jabari still tops. But Andrew Wiggins is kind of one of those guys where he's going to put up 25, 30, it seems like, almost every game. But, like, it's pretty quiet. Like, he's not out there dropping 10 threes in a game or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just consistent in that sense.
All I know is everybody at Tangles was saying that Jabari Parker is going to Michigan State. ND, is that true?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I think that would probably be the favorite at this point, but I don't think he knows. I don't think anybody knows where he's going to go.
All right. Keep us updated since you're in the Midwest.
I don't know anything about that. I wish I knew where he was going. So maybe some money.
All right, so we kind of, I guess Jabari is still the census number one guy, but we'll get back to those rankings later on another podcast. Another thing we wanted to talk up was the 2013 depth. We just talked about the top guys, and we really only named four of them, you know, that could have that number one spot. It seems bad, this class. I mean, compared to other classes, what do you guys think?
I mean, when you're putting it up against the 2014 class, I think it's always going to seem bad. I don't think it's that bad of a class. You know, I mean, in the Midwest, I think it's a bad class, even though, I think there's the best player in the country here. But, I mean, we haven't even talked about the Harrison twins. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good prospects out there. I just think the comparison between this class and the 2014 class is making it look weak.
Yeah, because 24 is so strong.
Yeah, 14 is pretty strong.
Yeah,
I think 2013 has a lot of, like, it's got guys who can step in and add good quality depth to a depth chart, but I'm not too sure it's got that star potential. You know what I mean? Like, you got a couple guys like we've been talking about, but other than that, like, I don't know if you're going to see too many guys just step in and start from day one.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, Ralphie, you got anything to say? They kind of covered it up.
I think they pretty much hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. You know? I think 2014 is really good out here, but to be honest with you, 2015, I know I've said this before, but 2015 in California is absolutely ridiculous. Andy, I know you're from the Midwest, and Ralph, Brendan, you're down south. If you guys want to play any games against our 2015 class, you guys can put your team together. I'll put my team together and we can go get it.
Whoa!
I think Mickey Mitchell might have something to say about that.
I think we can run with you on that.
I don't know, man.
Indiana Elite, man. Come on.
I saw them. They beat Compton Magic 2015 by 1 point in Vegas. That was a good game, man. I mean, that 2015 class around the country. A good friend of mine coaches the 2015 team. So in Vegas, I watched them. You know, I watched the 2015 class, and, you know, all around the nation, there's a lot of talent in that class. I think they're better than 2014 to me.
Give me the 2015s, and that's so loaded in California.
Marcus LeVet, Aaron Holiday, Tyler Dorsey. Steven Zimmerman's in Vegas, but he's another one.
Dream Vision's got some 2015s, too.
Kendall Small, point guard.
Thompson.
Thompson, Broderick Jones, Chance Kamachi. I mean, I'm talking, these are all kids that should be ranked, that are going to be ranked in the top 20.
Like, yeah, they got some talent there. I wasn't that impressed with Lovett Jr., though. I mean, I liked him, but I mean, he just wasn't, I don't know. I mean, I think I got a lot of hype from him. You know, I heard a lot of hype, but he didn't bring it.
I know, I agree, but the thing is, he's still a freshman. You know what I mean? He's still a freshman. And if you watch him over, if you go watch him for five games, three out of those five games, you're going to be like, wow. And two of those games, you're going to be like, okay, he's still a freshman. He still makes mistakes. He does. He still makes mistakes, and he tries to do too much sometimes, but he's very impressive. I think Aaron Holiday, Drew's little brother, he got a lot of potential. I mean, it's really, really crazy out there. And I'm probably Tyler Dorsey. Have you seen Tyler Dorsey yet, Andy? Or I know Ralphie has. Brendan, have you seen him yet?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, he's 6'5", can shoot it, put it on the floor. So it's crazy. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm happy for it because it's we need a class like this again.
Yeah, but that's still a ways away though. So I mean, some of these kids are looking real good now, and they may not look real good in a couple years.
That's true, but most of them are 16 or 17 already, anyways.
Oh, okay.
All right, man. So,
well, let's backtrack a second. Indy, you mentioned the Harrison twins. I want to get y'all's take since Andrew went out a couple weeks ago with an ankle injury, and then Aaron Harrison dropped 39 points. Who do you guys think is the better at this point? Aaron, the shooting guard, or Andrew, the point guard?
To me, they're both equal. When I saw them in the Louisville at the Lucas camp, I mean, one's a point and one's more of a two, you know? So, I mean, I think they both will add value to a team and, you know, they're going to go to the same team. So, to me, they're both equal.
Yeah.
It all depends on what you're looking for.
They're a package deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, give me both. that's my take. I like both of them. I don't, you could have the other and I'll be happy with the other one.
Yeah, they're not getting split up. I mean, Aaron's just he's a much better shooter than Andrew is right now. And I think Andrew's kind of more projection as far as his shot coming along because he's a great passer, but his shot's still suspect.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to move on to a topic that's crazy. June 15th for juniors and seniors. So that's the 2013 and 2014 class. Coaches can call them unlimited and text them unlimited. How do you guys feel about that, Ralphie? Start with you.
I think there are going to be some coaches who find a way to text and call themselves right off of a kid's list. I think the key is going to be who's going to know that you can't text a kid like 10 times a day. Obviously, the kid doesn't have to respond, but after a while, you're just going to change your phone number and take that school off your list if they get to be too annoying.
Go ahead, Andy.
I mean, what I'm tripping on is that, I think we're pretending that that's not happening now. You know what I mean? So it's happening now, so it's not going to be too much of a change. From a scouting aspect, and having the service and whatnot, I think it's okay. I'm not going to have a whole bunch of coaches saying, hey, will you contact this kid? As long as they understand that, when they're in school, leave them alone, which they're not going to do that. I think it's going to be good and it's going to be bad, but I think eventually it will end up, working itself out. There'll be more regulations for it. I think it's worth a shot.
What about you, Brandon?
I think it's interesting how we go from very limited contact to just contact them whenever you want. So I think that's a whole new aspect of recruiting. And then from a coaching standpoint, it's going to be interesting to try to figure out your recruits and their personalities. Because, like Ralph was saying, some coaches are going to text a kid 10 times, and some kids might enjoy that. That school's really into me. But at the same time, it might annoy the other kid and get you wiped off their list. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting from the coach's perspective and being able to learn people and, just what your recruits want to have happen. So,
I think it's a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing because, we're always the transfer thing, and maybe they get to know the kid a little bit more. You know what I mean? If they call the kid at 7 o'clock on a Friday night and the kid answers, maybe, they think of that as a plus because the kid's not out hanging out. Or, if they call and the kid's in the gym working out or whatever. I guess my thing is, it's just too much. You're giving the coaches too much power now. You know what I mean? You're saying, here, call them whenever you want. And I think it's a little bit too much. You're not really protecting the kids. And it's not. I don't think it's in the kid's best interest. You're kind of looking for the coach's best interest. And the NCAA is always preaching that they should be in the kid's best interest. And now you're kind of taking away the power from the kids.
I don't think the NCAA knows what the hell they're doing.
Say that again?
I don't think the NCAA knows what the hell they're doing. You go from one extreme to the other with
that's
this.
That's true.
This is just one more example of them chasing. I don't know what you'd call it, but it's just, yeah. It's the NCAA, basically.
No, I agree with that 100%. They really don't know what they're doing. And this shows it. I've talked to a couple of recruits out here, and they've all said they're just going to get another phone and, have the coaches call that other phone or and just leave that phone at home or leave it with their mom or, only give out one phone number. And that sucks for a kid. You know what I mean? If you're... you don't want your phone to be getting called 24/7.
You shouldn't have to buy a second phone.
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't have to. So, let's just say you're Jabari Parker, and any kid, and 10 schools are calling you, and just say they call you once a day, that's 10 calls you got to take. You know what I mean? Or 15 calls, or whatever. How many schools are recruiting you? It's a little bit too much, I think. They gotta try to restrict it in some way. But
I think if you're a recruit, you just have to be very outspoken as far as what your boundaries are during your recruitment. You gotta let coaches know. Call me once a week. Don't call me every day. You just gotta be outspoken in that.
No, go ahead, Andy.
Now we gotta take. That actually needs to be taken out of the recruit's hands, though. The parents are really gonna have to step up and say, look, these are the restrictions. This is when you can't call my son. This is when you can't call my son. If I find out that you're calling this at this time or whatever, the parents are going to have to be a lot more responsible now than what they have been in the past.
I know. I agree with that. So the only thing is that what I see is a lot of parents sometimes don't know what they have. You know what I mean? They don't know that they have a kid that's going to get a scholarship, or they don't know that a kid is getting a call from a coach illegally. You know what I mean? So, I agree with you. The parents need to step up and tell the coach, hey, look, you know, hey, 7 o'clock, between 7 o'clock on Friday night and, you know, Sunday morning or whatever, you can call my son or something like that. You know, 4 to 7, Monday through Friday, you can call my son. But anytime after that, please don't call. And, you know, and then I think also some parents are scared. We're not talking about, you know, Jabari Parkers or the Harrison Twins. We're talking about the kids that are, you know, ranked 200 to 300. If a parent tells a coach, hey, don't call my son, then, you know, they might lose out on the scholarship. You know what I mean? They don't have that power to tell the coach, hey, don't call my son. They need the coach to call because they're fighting for a scholarship. So I think it just kind of gives the coaches a little bit too much power. That's my take on it. Anybody got anything else to add to that?
There just needs to be better education for it. I mean, if the NCAA took it upon themselves to say, okay, well, this is, if you guys have any questions, you know, reach out to us and we'll help you. You know, I think that would be something that would be great for the NCAA to do if they're going to enforce this rule.
Yeah.
They already did.
I wish the NCAA would have a clinic on, you know, kids getting recruited, fly them to the headquarters and show them what they can and can't. Some kids don't know. Like I said, some parents don't know that coaches can't call right now. You know, and they have no idea. You know what I mean? Or some coaches don't know that because they're in the ninth grade, coaches can't call. You know? So, I think, you know, I do wish that a lot more people were educated on, you know, what they can and can't do and, you know, how they can work. And because I'm sure, like, you take a kid like a, you know, somebody tweeted that a kid was on an unofficial visit, took pictures of himself. Maybe the parent of that kid doesn't know that they can't do something like that. So, you know, education needs to be spread, you know, amongst everybody, I think.
Well, if you're the NCAA, it's easier and it's cheaper to hold a kid out once he gets to college than it is to actually
Exactly. That's crazy, man. All right, so the next topic is the transfers. I know this has been talked about a lot. Brendan does some research. Go ahead, Brendan. Tell them what you have found.
The first 2 years of a college basketball player, about 40% of them end up transferring out of their first school. Wow. So, you know, I know we talked about this a couple months ago on one of our other podcasts, and Rob was pretty outspoken about it. But, I mean, there's got to be something that can curtail some of these transfers. I mean, I think this April open period we had this, you know, about a month ago, might help out a lot, and these, you know, unlimited calls may help get to know your coaching staff better. But there's just, what do you guys think would be some good ways to kind of curtail like almost half the people transferring now?
I don't know. Andy, you got anything?
I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with some immature kids not getting to play when they want to play. And I mean, they just, once again, I think it comes down to education. A lot of these kids, they just pick a school because it's the school. They don't know what school they're going to. You know, I mean, it's just all about education. I mean, I don't really have much on this transfer stuff. It actually frustrates me to even talk about it.
Go ahead, Rafi. I know you want to get on it. Go ahead, Rafi.
I think it's about, you know, basically telling the truth, you know, for the players, understanding what they actually are and, you know, where they'll be the best fit. For the coaches, you know, when you recruit a kid, don't sit there and sell them, you know, 1,000 things that you know aren't going to happen just because you want to pull the kid in. You know, the same goes for parents. Make sure you understand what level your kid is going to be most successful at. Because, you know, it'd be, I think the last time I talked about it, I tended to side more with the players. But the more I think about it, I think everybody's responsible, you know, for this current epidemic and what have you. So I think everybody's got to kind of step up in terms of being honest with themselves and in terms of the whole process.
I agree with all that, Rafi. How do you guys feel about, say, a player goes mid-major, blows up, you know, but is not getting as many looks from, say, the NBA or pros, and he wants to transfer to, like, a bigger school? I mean, is that wrong, or is that – how do you guys feel about that?
I think if you're a pro player, you're going to get found.
Yeah.
I mean, who was the guy last year that got drafted as a center?
The dude from Baylor, what's his name?
No. No. By the way, I forget his name, but yeah, I mean, if you're a pro player, you're going to get Warriors.
Didn't Shelvin Mack go first round, too?
Yeah, he went first round. Man, I'm drawing a blank on that guy's name. Yeah, you even got the guy from Weber State this year, Damian Lillard. I mean, he's like projected to be a lottery pick. So if you're a pro talent, you're going to get found. Okay. So, I mean, I think transferring to be able to sit out a year is almost counter – you're hurting yourself, really.
I was just wondering. It's kind of like, you know, kids that leave one AAU team to go to another one to get bigger looks or something like that.
I mean, that seems to be the start of it, though. I mean, I think that the more kids keep on moving these AAU teams, I mean, they're more apt to actually do that when they get into college.
Yeah, even high school. I mean, they're transferring high schools every year, yeah. some of these guys.
Speaking of that, it's crazy. Mark
Kennedy. I mean, he went to four different high schools, now he's leaving Villanova.
Yeah.
Because you knew that was going to happen.
How about this? In California now, it used to be if you transferred to another high school, you couldn't play that season, and you'd have to sit out a season. So, you know, you'd miss a year. Now it's only 30 days. So, say your team is playing, you know, and you're 7-9 and you're going to miss the playoffs, you can, you know, leave and you can come back in the first round of the playoffs for another team.
That's horrible.
how crazy is that? So, you know, and then private school, you can live anywhere.
That's actually a rule. They allow that in California. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's why they call it the Wild Wild West, baby.
Wow.
And so, you know, as far as... So say if a basketball player... And there's already a loophole in it. Listen to this. So say if you're a basketball player, you know, and you transfer, you have to sit out 30 days starting from the start of the basketball season, which is November, you know, 10th to December 10th. You have to sit out. So what they're doing is they're enrolling their kids into football, you know, for the summer, act like they're going to play football, and then they transfer to the school because football season has already started. June 15th, football season starts. So they can be eligible August 15th.
Ah.
Yeah, so. But they never did play football, but, you know, they're acting like they're football players. So. Yeah, it's crazy, man. And it's because, you know, it's nothing they can do about it. Kids are going to transfer, so they're like, you know, let's put in this rule. They're being sued for making kids sit out a year. You know, it's just a big mess. It's crazy. It's crazy. And then I was telling somebody because they have a, you know, southern section out here, which is mostly private schools. And then they have a city section, which is mostly public schools. And the city section can't do anything against the southern section because it's all private schools and they can get all the kids. You know, they're recruiting. You know, they can offer free education. So the transfers are starting early. They're starting with Tyler Dorsey. You know, he's already transferring. He was at Rebay last year. You know, he's the top kid. He's going to transfer. Marcus LeVay will probably transfer. You know, it starts early.
Yeah, in Texas, you can't transfer schools for athletic reasons. So there's actually Keith Frazier for the 2013 class of shooting guard. He transferred high schools, I want to say like October, and he claimed it was because of, they were moving because of some sort of rent issue. But the more they dug, the more they figured out there's actually for athletic reasons. And his high school, Kimball up in Dallas, they won the state title, so now that's kind of being contested. And yeah, so that might get stripped. So that's something still in progress up here.
So you're going to strip a high school title?
Well, what?
I don't know. Like, it's back-to-back title, back-to-back championships, so... I don't think anything's really going to happen with the UIL, which is like the governing board of sports here. I don't really think they'll strip the title as much as it is just kind of tainted. So, and of course, you know, the powerhouse of Jack Yates High School, they're the ones that lost to Kimball, so they're the ones all up in arms. So.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I think the school likes to run up the score on people.
Oh, yeah, like 130 to like 50.
Yeah, I can't really feel too bad for them.
No, most people don't. So,
Indy, what's the transfer rule out there?
I mean, I'm in basically in Ohio and Indiana the majority of the time, and you know, so I really can't really think of an actual transfer rule. I know there's cases. I can think of one particular kid who started off playing in I think in November and then transferred to a different school and was playing in December. So I mean, I don't think it's that strict. I could be wrong. That this was in Indiana. I'm not 100% sure on the rules, but I mean, like I said, I'm all in the Midwest, not just one state.
Is it bad though? The transfer rate there, is it bad?
I don't think that it's as bad as California or anything like that. You know, I can't think of a lot of kids that, I mean, if they're transferring, they're transferring to a prep school.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not that bad.
Yeah. See, out here, it's ridiculous. Football is even worse. Football, I mean, you're getting 400 kids transferring.
Yeah, no, it's nowhere near that bad in the Midwest.
Yeah, it's crazy. So hopefully they fix it. Hopefully they come up with a solution. Hopefully these kids stick to the words and coaches, stick to the words, because it's ridiculous. Our last topic is the NBA draft. I guess we can. Brendan, do you have the lottery? The lottery?
Yeah, I got it up. Go ahead. So the Hornets, they ended up landing the first pick, as most of you know.
Wait. Before you go on, I just want to say, did anybody think the Hornets were not going to get the first pick with the NBA owning them?
They don't own them anymore.
Oh, they don't? They sold them?
It's on Benson Bottom.
Oh, okay. Then it wasn't.
Benson Bottom.
Then it wasn't rigged, like the Knicks one.
If you're going to rig a team, though, you don't give, like, the New Orleans Hornets the guy. You know what I mean? You're going to give, like, the Nets.
Like the Knicks? Pick. Like the Knicks, how Ralphie, when they got Patrick Ewing?
That wasn't rigged.
That was rigged, Ralphie. Oh. That was rigged.
Frozen envelope, ping pong balls.
Hey.
That was rigged.
That wasn't rigged.
Yeah, it was.
I think they're all rigged, but I think they're all rigged for a purpose, though. You know, I mean, I don't think it's like an intentional rig. I just think it just happens that way.
That just kind of underlines the sad state of the NBA today, though. Like, when you talk about the lottery or the actual officiating,
it's rigged.
Where it's rigged. So easy to kind of say that everything's rigged.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Tim Donaghy stuff definitely didn't help, so.
Tim Donaghy was right.
He was right.
And then, what's the referee, the bald-headed guy that was doing
George
the game?
George Crawford?
Yeah, he's terrible.
Yeah, you know something's up.
He's come on, man. That's the thing, though. He's like cheating for both teams. So, I don't know. Go ahead. Finish, Brendan. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So, the Hornets got the first pick. Bobcats got number two. The Wizards are three. Cavs are four. Kings are five.
All right.
After Anthony Davis, who do you guys think the Bobcats should grab it to?
Thomas Robinson.
Nope.
Kendall Marshall.
No.
Go ahead. Who do you think, Ralphie?
I'd probably go back and forth between Bradley Beal and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Probably leaning towards Beal because of the offensive help he can provide him. But I think Kidd-Gilchrist would be interesting because he's kind of a change the culture type of guy, mm-hmm. given how hard he plays. Mm-hmm. And, but the thing, like my thing is, if you can't really decide, why not see if you can trade down, see if you can get some more picks, because that team is absolutely terrible. And whoever, seriously, they won seven games.
And I agree.
You know, what kind of help?
So, Rafi, what you're saying is the squad of 2012 kids can beat them, right?
Hell no. I mean,
all right, what about 2011? If you put Anthony Davis, Thomas Robinson,
Gilchrist, Damian Lillard,
and Brad Beal, and you give them 2 months of training camp, could they beat the Bobcats?
No, because you're talking about grown men. I don't think people.
Thomas Robinson is a grown man.
Okay. And who else?
And that's it.
Yeah. They're not beating the Bobcats. They are horrible, but that's for a professional team.
For some of you guys out there, I want to say it was a McDonald's All-American game. Somebody from a four-letter network had tweeted that he thought a team of 2012 kids could actually beat the Bobcats. So me and Rafi had fun with that one.
Make sure you note that he decided that he was playing around after the backlash happened.
Yeah, a couple hours later, I was just messing around.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd be taking Bradley Beal at number two.
Stuart Scott. Was it Stuart Scott?
No.
Okay.
Prospect X guy.
Skip Bayless.
No.
I know. Stephen A. Smith.
Keep on going. Yeah, you gotta keep guessing. You might get it eventually.
I don't know, man. Chris Berman.
Nah.
All right, let's go back to the draft. We'll leave that one alone.
I would go with Bradley Beal too with the Bobcats. I mean, I'll take him over Kate Gilchrist. I think Bradley Beal's a lot like Eric Gordon, but I think he's going to be able to stay healthy. And I think that I think that'll be a pretty good fit. I'm a little bit scared of Kid Gilchrist in the NBA.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I mean, I don't know if he's a guard. I think that he's going to have to play a guard. You know, I mean, I know that he has, you know, the fight in him and all that other stuff. But I just don't know what that would translate to in space in the NBA. Okay. I'm a little bit worried about him.
Okay. Where does Andre Drummond get drafted?
I think he's got too much potential to fall outside the top 10.
Yeah, he's definitely going top 10.
Okay.
Most of my drafts actually have – I'm looking at Draft Express right now. They don't even have him top 10.
He'll go to Portland and fall off. Portland and fall off, guaranteed.
I thought Portland would take Perry Jones.
What pick do they have? What pick does Portland have?
9th or 10th?
They're picking 6th.
I think –
They have the
10th
pick also, right?
They got the 11th pick. Yeah, you're close.
See, I think they take the first.
Sorry, take the. Go ahead.
They go guard with the first one at 6, and then 11, they're gonna take Tyler Zeller or Perry Jones, and they're both gonna be busting in the game. Sorry, Brendan.
Yeah, I'm staying away from the whole Perry thing. I'm not too sure. He's just got to get motivated. I mean. That's what it's going to come down to.
And money is not going to motivate him.
Something's going to have to eventually. But, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I don't think he's going to ever translate to what his talent actually is. But, yeah, my reading skills weren't up to par. Andre Drummond's actually 5th on this mock. So, good job.
They got him going to Sacramento?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Andre Drummond and Cousins on the same team. That would be the greatest thing ever.
No. Because you got, don't forget, Jason Thompson there, too.
Yes, yes.
Good player.
But Cousins and Drummond would be the best together.
Nah, hell no.
Even if they're just on the bench, I just want a camera on them at all times.
Cousins could be an all-star in the next year. Yeah, he had a good year this year, and I think he can build on that.
Yeah, if he gets his head straight.
Yeah, he can.
He's good. He's behaving, man.
Hold on, guys.
So who is the who do you think is the other surefire, you know, all star, you know, down the road other than Anthony Davis that's in this draft?
I think it could be Drummond.
The biggest what? Say that again, I'm sorry.
Surefire.
Surefire all star?
Yeah.
Ooh, not Harrison Barnes. I think it's Anthony Davis.
I got a sleeper. I think it's gonna be Myers Leonard.
Oh, that's a good pick.
I think once he gets into the NBA, I think he's going to calm down a little bit. But, you know, at that 7, I mean, he's a real strong 7-footer. I mean, he's a strong 7-footer. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think he's going to be doing special things in the NBA.
I like the kid from Illinois, right?
Yeah, the kid from Illinois, yep.
Okay, is Kendall Marshall going to be a solid point guard in the NBA? Or is he a backup? No. Is he a backup point guard?
Depends on the system.
Yeah.
Because I don't...
On a good team, he's a backup point guard.
Yeah. I would take Machado over Kendall Marshall.
Definitely.
All day. What about Jared Sellinger?
I'd let him slide a little bit.
I don't know.
Is there anybody? Austin Rivers.
I'll take him and see what. I think he'll be good in the NBA. I think he'll take a little bit of time, but you know, I think he'll be good.
Austin Rivers or Jeremy Lamb?
Austin Rivers.
All
right. I'd take Lamb.
Brendan, take over this podcast for 2 seconds. I need to step away from the computer. You got it?
Yeah. All right. All right, so this draft seems to have a lot of big men. Who would you guys say are your safest picks for big men? Because it seems like between Jared Sullinger and Perry Jones and all those other guys, it seems like a lot of people have question marks over who's going to translate the best. What would you guys say your top three is as far as the safest pick that's actually going to provide value?
Other than Anthony Davis?
other than Davis. Yeah, I guess we're all kind of assuming Davis is, you know, going to do his thing.
I would say probably Thomas Robinson. Thomas Robinson, you know, Myers Leonard, and maybe Tyler Zeller, you know, Andrew Nicholson. He's power forward, but I mean, if you're talking about power forward, I'll just finish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the power forward is definitely in there.
I'll throw John Henson in the mix, too.
Yeah, that's kind of the name I was looking for.
Yeah, he's another guy, I think, as a shot blocker. I think he could be a good defensive player, role player for a team. I wouldn't expect him to be a star by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he can really help a team out defensively.
Yeah, I do too. How do you guys think Terrence Jones' game is going to translate?
I don't think it will translate.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to carry his weight at power forward in the NBA.
He's kind of a tweener to next level, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't know either.
So, Terrence Jones or Royce White?
Royce.
I'd take my chances on Royce White. I think both are going to take some time, but I think you might actually get more value out of Royce White long term.
What about Draymond Green?
I like Draymond, but I'd probably take Royce White over him, too.
I actually might take Draymond Green, depending on the system, over Terrence Jones, though. I think with Green, there's probably not as much upside, but you know what you're going to get out of him. You're going to get some solid minutes, maybe off the bench.
All right, guys, I'm back. Sorry about that. Where'd you guys leave off at?
We're just talking about big men and potential in the NBA.
Ooh, it's not a lot.
So who's your top guys you think you'll actually get production out of? That's actually a safe pick. Other than Anthony Davis.
Ooh. Bradley Beal, maybe?
No, big men.
Oh. Man.
Yeah, we made it harder.
Is Terrence Jones considered a big man?
Yeah, we were just talking about it.
I think Thomas Robinson will be okay. I think he's going to be okay. I don't think he's going to be, you know, excellent. I think he's going to be okay. Damn.
Who's the big kid from Mississippi State? What's that big kid from Mississippi State?
Arnett Moultrie?
Arnett Moultrie, yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right in the NBA.
What about Renardo?
Who? Ronaldo?
Sydney, man.
Oh, the soccer player? Ronaldo? Stop playing, Ralphie. What about... No, okay. Sleeper, I think in about 4 years, he'll be solid. He should have stayed in school, but you got to take the money. I think Maurice Harkless from St. John's.
I was going to say that, too.
Yep.
You know who else, though? Jared Cunningham from Oregon State. Sleeper.
He could be one too. Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah, he could be in there too.
Yeah. Yep. You know, there's a couple. You know.
I think Kevin Jones might be all right.
Okay. What
West
about
Virginia?
Yeah.
What about Tony Rudin?
Nothing. I pass.
Huh?
I pass.
You pass? You think you should have went back to school?
I think you should have went back to school. Yeah.
I think a lot of these guys should have gone back to school.
I think Roten would have been exposed more had he gone back to school next year.
No jump shot.
Who's he going to pass to if he didn't pass it? I don't know.
I think
he knew he was gone after 1 year anyway. So.
What about Royce White? I think he sticks in the league.
I think we're talking about him. I think he's pretty, yeah, I think he'll stick.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Teague?
Backup.
Like backup to Kentucky?
No, he'll be a backup point guard somewhere. Man, good athlete, but I don't see him being, you know, a guy you try to win a championship with as a starting point guard at the NBA level.
Yeah.
I know he did it in college, but you know, it's a whole different ballgame.
I agree wholeheartedly.
About Quincy Miller, he seems to be all over draft boards.
There we go. You got him going number one, right, Baylor?
I mean, always. always number one. Perry Jones, Quincy Miller, 1 and 2.
It's a weak draft. It's a real weak draft.
Yeah, so he might go top 15. You know what I mean?
Draft Express has him at 18. I think that's a little high, but
I'd take Bo Harkless over Quincy Miller and not even think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. I think Austin Rivers is going to be good in the NBA. I don't know. I want him to be good, but I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
See, this whole draft like seems like a lot of bench players. You know, maybe some guys that will eventually like become pretty good, but I mean, there's just not too many guys you can just build a franchise around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's no LeBrons. There's no KDs. There's no Tim Duncans.
I mean, I would say Anthony Davis is solid, but after that, I mean, you know, there's not a consensus number two. I mean, you got a 4 or 5 guys who could be that guy.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even think last year. I mean, Kyrie Irving, you know, proved me wrong. But I didn't even think last year Kyrie Irving was going to be as good as he is. So, you never know. But, you know, who would you take, Anthony Davis or Kyrie Irving?
Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
no question.
Oh, no, Kyrie Irving is kind of nice.
No, I don't care. Anthony Davis, he's 6'10". You can't.
I've seen a lot of 6'10 cats come and not do a lot of stuff.
Dude, he ain't Sam Bowie, man. Come on.
you said Sam Bowie. I didn't say Sam Bowie. I'm just saying, you know. I don't know. Kyrie Irving, it's got a C. Got a C. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. 2 or 3 years down the line, what happens.
I mean, it sounds kind of odd to say, but, I mean, Anthony Davis might be the surest bet coming into the draft since Greg Oden. And then that didn't work out so well, but.
Damn, Greg Oden.
He's got great knees.
This guy don't care.
I know, right?
That's wrong, man. That's wrong. All right, Brandon Roy was going to the Knicks.
That's real funny, Neil.
Huh?
That's absolutely hilarious.
Why?
He's not going. Where'd you hear that?
I read it on Twitter or something. That's what I heard.
I heard he was coming back, though. He was trying to make a comeback.
See? Him and Allen Iverson to the Knicks.
Yeah, now I know you're playing around.
No, I did hear Brandon Roy, though, Ralphie. Not Allen Iverson, though. But. All right. Well, that's anything else you guys want to throw out there? You guys want to plug? Ralphie, you want to plug your Twitter? The sites you write for? Anything like that?
You can follow me at Raphael J. RAPHIELLEJ. And also doing some work with NBC Sports over the College Basketball Talk page. So check us out over there, too.
Okay, cool. Definitely follow Ralphie. He's great on Twitter. ND, you want to plug yours real quick?
You can follow me at ND Kendrick. You know how to spell it. You'll find me. Recruit Recon.
All right.
About it. I'm not about self-promotion.
You better be.
Nah, we cool. We make money over here in the Midwest.
Brendan, you want to plug you since you big time now?
Go ahead. I'm trying. Well, first of all, we kind of forgot to announce our NCAA tournament winner. Evan Elsie won it this year. So
shout out to Evan Elsie.
And kind of an odd fact is last year his roommate Jonathan Garza won our tournament. So
they're cheating.
Yeah, we may have to go move in their little area. I'm not too sure. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at bpadilla3. And also go check out BearsTruth.com as part of the 24/7 Sports Network.
Yeah, so, and, you know, me, I'm Neil Nieves. You can find me on Twitter. I don't tweet a lot since I got a regular day job now. But that's about it, man. CTCRecruiting.com. I do some work for Scout, San Diego State. Shout out to Scott Summers, who did not want to join us since the Spurs lost. But yeah, that's about it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a good time, you know, and hopefully we do it again soon. All right, take it easy.